Our topic this afternoon, free market economics and the rule of law, is of vital importance to free societies. Thanks to the work of Friedrich Hayek in the Chicago School, the emergence of the law and economics movement, the notion of free enterprise and its relationship to the rule of law has received considerable attention in recent years. We are very fortunate today to have three panelists join us who are experts in their respective fields and who will share their insights on this topic with us. Now, before I introduce them and get into their presentation, I wanted to take a moment to illustrate one way in which economics and the rule of law interact and intersect in real life. I want to tell you a story about a man named Pastor Nathaniel Craig Miles. Pastor Nathaniel Craig Miles is the pastor of an inner city church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. As part of his duties, he would frequently conduct funerals for his parishioners. And in the course of doing that, he saw repeatedly not only the sadness and the tragedy of the death that these families experienced, but also the burden placed upon them financially with the cost of funerals. Indeed, for many people, funerals are the third most expensive transaction, exceeded only by cars and houses, that they will engage in during their lives. Pastor Craig Miles, like any good entrepreneur, as well as a good minister, looked for a way to address the needs of his parishioners and did so by recognizing that the thing that made funerals so expensive were caskets. Caskets were the single most expensive item in a funeral, by far, and as he looked into it, he found that frequently caskets were marked up by as much as 600% by the funeral directors who sold them. So Pastor Craig Miles said, there's got to be a better way, and I know what it is. I'll get these caskets and sell them at a much lower cost and still make enough money to keep a small business going. So he purchased his caskets, he opened up his casket store, and was doing just fine, thank you, when one day the knock on the door comes. He opens it up, and who does he find? The casket police. The Board of Funeral Directors and Embalmers actually has an enforcement agency in Tennessee, whose job it is to intercept and prevent people from engaging in the crime, and it is a crime, of selling caskets without a funeral director's license. Now, to get a funeral director's license, you might think, would be relatively easy compared to the kinds of credentials and education that folks in this room have had. But indeed, it's not as easy as you might think. Bear in mind that, first of all, you're being required to do this just to sell a box. That's all a casket is. It is a box. There's no safety or public health reason that mandates the use of caskets. It is nothing more than a box. And yet, to sell that box, you have to go to school for 2 years at the cost of thousands of dollars, spend hundreds of hours in class, classes that include everything from body chemistry to aerobics, and to learn all sorts of arcane funeral lore, and participate in 25 funerals and the embalming of dead bodies. As if that weren't enough, when you finally complete that process, you then must go and take a test that makes the bar exam that we lawyers have to take almost appear like a piece of cake. The minutiae, the arcana that's on that test just boggles the mind. Now, the Board of Funeral Directors and Embalmers is comprised, perhaps not surprisingly to those of us in this room, of 6 funeral directors and 1 representative of the general public. And what you see in this instance, in this microcosm, is a classic example of public choice theory at work. The concentrated benefits enjoyed by the funeral directors and the diffused costs imposed upon the general public led quite directly and quite deliberately to the capture of the rents in the funeral industry and the capture of the regulatory apparatus created by law at the behest of the funeral industry. And the sole purpose of all this, of course, is to protect the funeral industry from competition. Now, Pastor Craig Miles is not unique Not only are there other casket retailers, but indeed about 10% of the occupations in this country require licenses or permits before you can engage in them. You must get the permission of the state. Many of these laws create outright monopolies and cartels. Many others impose very arbitrary and burdensome conditions on entry, like the funeral directors' laws. Now, we might ask ourselves, how do such laws come to be in the United States of America, a country devoted to and built upon the principles of free enterprise? Well, as some of you may know, it actually started here in the city of New Orleans in 1872, when the Supreme Court ruled in an aptly titled case called the Slaughterhouse Cases and read out of the 14th Amendment, the recently enacted 14th Amendment, the Privileges or Immunities Clause, and ushered in a whole array of opportunity for regulation of economic activity, manifested not long thereafter in the regulations that characterized the Progressive Era, and enabling the court, the Supreme Court, by the time the New Deal arrived, to deliberately and explicitly relegate economic liberty and property rights to second-class citizenship, to second-class status under the Constitution. That is the rankest form of judicial activism. Attorney General Meese was talking about judicial activism and the pernicious effect it has on a free society. The type of judicial activism that reads out of the Constitution express protection for rights that were intended by the authors of the Constitution to protect rights, those rights, is the most pernicious and, I think, extreme form of judicial activism that we can face. It has gotten so bad in this instance, in the realm of economic regulation, that the standard enunciated by the United States Supreme Court, the current standard recently reaffirmed, is that any reasonably conceivable set of facts will suffice to justify an economic regulation, even if those facts did not exist at the time the law was passed or were not considered, if they did exist, by the legislature when the law was enacted. Any reasonably conceivable set of facts. Well, the practical real-world result of that are such weird anomalies as in some cities like New York, for instance, to become an emergency medical technician, you have to study for 46 hours to learn how to use a defibrillator and come to save people's lives. To engage in African hair braiding, you have to go to school for 1,600 hours. In city after city in the United States, we have woefully inadequate public transportation, and yet laws in city after city protect that public transportation from low-cost effective alternatives like jitneys. And of course, we have the proliferation of a vast array of regulatory bodies and boards and agencies that stifle economic liberty in myriad ways. Until the courts reinvigorate the Privileges or Immunities Clause and restore the proper constitutional protection for economic liberty, these kinds of real-world tragedies that affect real people will continue. These are the tragedies explained and predicted by public choice theory, and indeed, they are acted out in city after city on a daily basis in this country. Oh, well, what happened with Pastor Craig Miles, you might ask? Well, he didn't take this lying down. He filed a lawsuit. And I'm pleased to say that in a path-breaking legal opinion authored by an illustrious member of the Philadelphia Society, Judge Danny Boggs of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Tennessee casket law was struck down. The funeral directors were no longer protected from competition by this legal artifice. And today, Pastor Craig Miles is back in business. And a new legal precedent points the way to the proper relationship between economics, the Constitution, and the rule of law. Now, I'm pleased to introduce our panel today, and I've been admonished by the powers that be here in the society that I'm to keep them to 15 minutes. Well, you'll see me pass them notes from time to time, and then we'll entertain questions at the end of their presentations and adjourn promptly at 3:30. Our first speaker Our first speaker will be Eduardo Mayorga. He is the director of seminars on law and economics at Francisco Marroquin, a professor of law there, a former dean of the law school, a trustee of the school, a member of the Mont Pelerin Society, familiar to many of us, and a frequent participant in numerous conferences on law and jurisprudence, sponsored by the Liberty Fund. He'll be followed by Todd Zwicky, who is the associate professor of law, teaching bankruptcy and contracts at George Mason University Law School. He clerked for one of the truly great judges in the federal appellate court, Judge Jerry Smith from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and he's published numerous articles in leading law reviews and economic journals. Our final speaker will be Bruce Fronin. Bruce is the assistant professor of law at Ave Maria School of Law in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He teaches property, professional responsibility, and origins of the Constitution. He was a former resident scholar at the Heritage Foundation, a senior fellow at Liberty Fund, and he's written extensively. One of his books is The Virtue the Promise of Conservatism, The Legacy of Burke and Tocqueville. He's authored numerous scholarly articles, as well as opinion pieces in major newspapers across the United States. Eduardo.